Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'm Abdul Majid Shirazi and I have my friend Sahil. We are back again with our ongoing series on Surah Kahf. In our last session, we alhamdulillah covered the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf. And today we're going to be starting from verse number 11 onwards, inshallah. Sahil, so I'm going to read the translation of verse number 11. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So we cast a cover of sleep. This is in brackets, over their ears within the cave for a number of years.
Yeah.
Then we awakened them that we might show which of the two factions was most precise in calculating what extent they had remained in time.
Yeah. No. Let's just focus on the first ayah, the first one that you recited. This is a very technical word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used, and this is one of the biggest signs of the surah. And the word is darabna ala azanihim.
Yes.
That does not mean cast sleep over their ear.
Yeah.
That literally means strike their ear.
Yeah.
Or struck their ears.
Yeah.
And now,
because in Arabic darab means hit,
yeah,
to strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a very, very big opening now. This surah is coming to its core of how we should look at how to interpret the signs of the technology we're talking about. The first questions of the Jews were about the companions of the cave, and that companion of the cave, actually there's something weird that actually happened to the companions of the cave, right? This is what happened to the companion of the cave. This is the very core. We just skip it just like that, and we're not going to get anything. This is the most important verse, if not the most important verse, then one of the most important verses. Darabna ala azanihim means striking the ear. Now, the kind of translations that are usually available, that means someone just came in and struck a blow on their ear, as if slapped or punched those people. Now there are not just one man. This is a group of people.
Yeah.
So if you have to strike simultaneously 7, 8, 9 people, it naturally shows you how you can actually strike the ears of everybody. And
yeah,
that is how to, and that's to create a certain sound that simultaneously hits everybody's ear exactly in the same way.
Yeah.
Or 7 angels, or an angel with 7 copies.
Yeah.
Would strike or punch their ear.
Yeah.
But it makes way more sense to interpret it as a sound wave. Because a sound wave striking the ear would be darabana ala azani. And that is how we should actually look into it. That there was a certain sound that was created in the cave when they were there. So that they would, furthermore, we will see during the next few verses, because this is the most exciting part of the surah. And this is why I need you to just focus on this for as long as we can, so that we can actually try and get the actual sense and the flavor and the technology we're talking about here. So when we say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala struck their ears, that's 14 ears minimum. That's 7 minimum. Could be 9, could be more.
Yeah.
Could be hundreds, for all we know.
Yeah.
So, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says only Allah knows how many of them there are. So as minimum as 7 or 9. So that's a sound wave that actually hit them, and they all fell asleep right away.
Yeah.
Or why I'm saying right away is because it's not just one man.
Yeah.
7 people. Yeah. One man just steadily dozing off would be another man's, experience.
Yeah,
he would see the rest of the 2-3 people just falling down,
and would that be able happened. To recount what happened.
Yeah, and he would be able to recall and tell everybody that this is what happened, but they didn't find that out.
Yeah,
okay. So this is how we should look into how to. Really interpret this technicality of what actually happened and how it happens.
Sahil, how time I don't travel know if happens. It's appropriate to quote it here, but there's a movie I think Jimmy Carter or something Carter, on the subject of time travel. And I think in that movie they have shown this concept where something happens to the ears of the person in that, which makes him time travel to another planet or something.
Well, there could be, because...
And secondly, there are certain theories we say is that portals or this traveling through dimensions open have something to do with sound waves.
Resonance, yeah.
Yeah, resonance.
Something,
yeah.
Resonating frequency. And there are a lot of theories of a certain frequency at which the atmosphere will open its door towards wherever that door will lead you. And you know what, quite frankly, I wouldn't really think, or we can't just, you know... cast them all out, because this is Quran we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So when Quran says darabna ala adhanihim, which means something did happen through the course of sound waves.
Yeah.
And these guys not just fell asleep, because they didn't really fall asleep.
Yeah.
You'll find out later on that it was a totally different kind of state that these guys were in.
Yeah.
Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on says that if you had seen them, you would have thought that they're awake.
Yeah.
This is a very big, we'll come to that later on.
Yeah.
So this is something else that happened through the sound wave to these people.
Yeah.
And, you know, did their, you know, bodies just scatter up?
Yeah.
Or did they just fall down? Or did they just stood still and just were frozen into whatever state that they were in? Even though Allah Ta'ala says they were laid down.
Yeah,
so they did lie down, or the way Allah Ta'ala says later on, and you'll find out that they were laid down.
Yeah.
But it can also be taken as that there are two states of these people, in which one state is how they're laying down, and the other state is something which is not in the state of lying down. But we'll come to that.
Okay.
So, but the point on this verse is that it is so clear that something happened to their ear.
Ears, yeah.
Now, if you look at the internal structure of the ear, you'll find out a certain shape.
Yeah.
The human anatomy of the internal ear.
Yeah.
Let's just take it from the external side.
Yeah.
This certain shape.
Yeah.
It's a very clear shape that actually is in...
kind of a spiral.
It's a spiral, yeah. So, let's just assume that people know what a spiral is. Everything in the heavenly cosmos is in a spiral motion.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
We think that the earth is revolving around the sun, even though the sun is also in motion. And earth is not revolving around the sun like
that.
Earth is actually
together are going.
It's a spiral going up. Or going down.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And you know the Fibonacci series also is very very eloquently talking about how the signature of creation.
And probably you mentioned in some of your other videos where that the structure of a wormhole or a black hole.
Yeah, I'll come to that because that's where I'm coming at. In this very surah, that real word is used.
Subhanallah, okay.
The word sadaf, the actual manifestation of the spiral and the Fibonacci numbers.
Yeah.
When we see that, we actually denote the Fibonacci through a seashell or a shell, and this is the word sadaf that is used in Surah Kahf, and that's the word used for the portal or the way through which you can actually it's presumably so travel through it's like a gateway from one dimension or the other, or one part of the universe to the other. It could be anything, but that word itself, sadaf, that spiral, that little wormhole is inside our ear. That's a physical part of our body that literally looks like a seashell.
I guess anyone can just Google and see the internal structure of the ear, and you can see.
You'll see that seashell inside our body, every human ear.
There's a special name for cochlea or something.
Well, there has to be, but the real question is that shape is not a coincidental shape. There are no coincidences, and that is a very big, very big opening towards this whole realm of how one being can actually you know, play around with time, maybe dimensions or whatever. And that also leads, since it's inside the ear, that leads to how sound can actually be one of the tools to utilize.
Yeah. And I must clear one point here. Like, it's not that we are verifying Quran through science, but it's actually we have to verify science through the Quran.
Yeah, the other
like
way around.
If we are talking about multiverse or many worlds at this time, in fact, like, Muslims were supposed to be the first people to talk about these things, because the first ayah starts with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So we always had the concept of Alameen. We always had the concept of seven earths, many skies. So we verify science through this.
And this
is a very good indication for scientists to look into this to see what sound can do.
And it literally shows in the surah that sound can do, because it is a matter of sound we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So, darabna ala azanihim means plural. At the same time, they were all struck. And when we hear this word, darabna ala azanihim, naturally, we can actually, you know, infer that it was a sound that was struck simultaneously in all of the ears of those people.
Okay. So then we woke them so that we could make clear which of the two parties was better able to work out how long they had been there.
Now that this verse actually shows two different things. One, it's a clear account of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us. It's a very clear way of narrating a story for the future people like us to know who was right and who was wrong. And the second thing is of what happens at an experiential level. This is what Allah Ta'ala is telling us. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala literally tells us their experience in their own words, so that we would know of how it actually feels.
Yeah.
It is such a big way, such an amazing way of narrating a story that as humanly it could have been defined. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that for us. That two parties started arguing about how long did you think we were asleep?
Yeah.
And both of the parties, you know, gave their accounts.
Yeah.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in literally in his ayah that, you know, then we made them argue against each other of who was right and who's wrong in understanding or recalling what was the actual span of their sleep.
Okay. So now I'm going to keep reading on, and you have to stop me where you have to make a point. So this is verse number 13. Prophet, we shall tell you their story as it really was. They were young men who believed in their Lord, and we gave them more and more guidance. We gave strength to their hearts when they stood up and said, "Our Lord is the Lord of the heavens and earth. We shall never call upon any God other than Him, for that would be an outrageous thing to do."
This is a very clear understanding. That is as basic as it gets when it comes down to Islam. That guidance is only going to come through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly, without any intervention of any angel. Guidance is a direction and an amr of Allah. And whoever Allah guideth is going to be saved. And this is what Allah ta'ala is saying in the time of Dajjal. There won't be no argumentation or convincing of anyone or anything. It is a choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide whoever He wills. And if we are going to help as much as we can to make that psychology clear to our younger lot, the future generations, it'll be easier for them to be on the right path, where Allah is going to have mercy on them and pick them as the righteous people. Because this is an ayah which is saying very clearly that Allah chose them. Yeah. They didn't choose Allah. Allah chose them. This is.
I think there's one point I would like to make here, is that our aqidah is that Allah guides everyone. It's people who have to make themselves eligible for that guidance. So whoever tries sincerely, Allah definitely will choose them. And whoever...
That's what I meant by
the
right path in psychology. Yeah. That's what we have to make it easy for our generations to come to not be burdened by mutated psychology and, you know, going into full-on argumentation before they can actually believe. We should believe before we argue. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. So, in Surah Baqarah, in this very verse, Allah is saying that this is a book which guideth the muttaqeen. So, muttaqeen are the people who are going to be guided. This is something which we can connect with this ayah, and we can clearly see that if we can develop taqwa as a psychology of our kids, then they will be guided, inshallah. So, you know, this is not a debate of qada ul qadr. This is just a debate of what is the responsibility of the parents to help them get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the jali is going to open the door of argumentation. There's no doubt about this. All the hadith are saying that. He is presenting proofs and arguments and justifications and, you know, this and that. And people who are going to fall prey. I'll give you a little hadith here so that you can understand. In the end of time, Allah's Prophet says that whoever is going to look into the fitan, the intensity of the fitan is going to be so much that whoever is going to look into the fitan will fall prey to the fitan. This is such a big thing. So you have to understand, in the next ayah which you just recited, the last one, these are the people who just, you know, believe and have faith that there is no deity except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no God but one God. And this was enough for them to be guided. They stood firm. They were in the time where most of the people had lost their faith and belief. These are the only few people who were left. And instead of fighting the billions of people, well, millions in their case, but billions in Dajjal case, instead of just trying to argue and trying whatever, do whatever, they made sure that their iman is safe. And after a certain point in time, these people gave up and they just fled. They literally fled because there was no other choice.
Subhanallah. These people of ours have taken gods other than him. Why do they not produce clear evidence about them? Who could be more unjust than someone who makes up lies about God?
Well, that's the wrong word. Who could be more zalim? فَمَنْ أَظْلَمْ وِمَنْ كَذَبَ.
Yeah.
Who is the biggest of the biggest tyrant and the, you know, the wrongdoer?
Oppressor,
The oppressor. And that is the guy who actually, you know, puts forth lies on the deity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
This is an ayah which repeats so many times in the Quran. And this is where these people are saying that, why are they putting lies on Allah? And this is where the Prophet said, in the time of Dajjal, so that we will understand that this man is going to claim to be the Lord, and no matter in the shape of Jesus or not, that the Prophet said, your Lord is not one-eyed. Okay, your Lord is not one-eyed. That means this man is going to be claiming the Lord, and this is what these people are saying, that why are you associating anyone else with God, which the Dajjal is going to do? And or, even if he just claims to be Lord, instead of just claiming to be Isa al-Islam, these people of the cave are saying that, فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ. Who is a bigger oppressor or wrongdoer than a guy who is putting forth lies on the deity of Allah? Which means anyone who claims to be a lie is one of the people who is addressed here.
Now that you have left such people and what they worshipped instead of God, take refuge in the cave. God will shower His mercy on you and make you an easy way out of your ordeal.
The Prophet also said that at the end of times, head towards the mountains, and flee from Dajjal. So these are the people who are doing that. This is such an amazing story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and the Prophet is saying, Surah Kahf will save you from Dajjal. That literally shows of why, how relevant this surah is in the time of Dajjal.
You could have seen the light of the sun as it rose, moving away to the right of their cave, and when it set, moving away to the left of them, while they lay in the wide space inside the cave. This is one of God's signs. Okay, this is in the brackets. This is one of God's signs. Those people God guides are rightly guided, but you will find no protector to lead to the right path those He leaves to stray.
In the last, in this ayah, the last few words,
moving away to the left of them.
In Arabia.
Okay. This is
in the last part. وَمَنْ
يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا.
Before that.
Okay. I'm going to read the whole ayah.
Okay.
وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْهِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ الْمُهْتَدِ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُ وَلِيًّا مُرْشِدًا.
So there are three things in this ayah very clearly. First and foremost, it is such an amazing way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has literally given us the blueprint of that portal through which these people were, you know, traveling through time. Now, if you use the basic two-dimensional paper and pencil or three-dimensional structures, you are not going to be able to construct this sort of structure. Because when Allah ta'ala says anything which Allah Ta'ala is referring to as min ayatullah, that is not an ordinary thing. If you can see that in the Quran, whenever something extraordinary, weird, strange, which is happening, and Allah Ta'ala is actually describing it, Allah Ta'ala is saying this is an ayatullah, which means this is something which you won't be able to explain through regular mechanisms which you have developed through whatever science or prior to science which we were doing. Now, if you actually plot through a pencil and paper the structure, you will not be able to do that, because when the sun is rising, when the sun is rising, and if we put that, any structure on the plane and then move the sun away or towards the right, then we are naturally moving towards the left as well.
Yeah.
And this is why this becomes one of the most strange structures. You really cannot do that. And trust me, I've tried many times. You have to have a very peculiar structure for a sun to move away from the right when it's rising and move away towards the left when it's setting. In a 2D model, you cannot put a structure or create a structure in your mind. You have to put that structure in the air somehow, or inside a certain dimension where the earth is moving or the sun is moving away when it's setting, when it's rising towards the right. Because if you actually justify or fulfill one of the conditions of any structure from which the sun moves away when it's rising, then you are not going to be able to make the sun move away towards the left when it's setting.
Yeah.
It is not mathematically possible for a structure to have a sun moving away towards the right in the ascent and still make it move away towards the left when it's descending. This is why it's the ayat.
Okay. The translator here has added in brackets light of the sun. So he says,
well, I don't know why he did that.
No, because I have 2 points to make here.
Yeah.
If you move light towards a prism, light bends, or through a thicker, denser medium, light does bend. So if it's not about the sun and it's only about the light, then probably that cave was in a certain dimension which acted maybe as a prism.
Could be.
That the light bent in another direction. It moves away from its light.
You're right. That's the only way to explain it.
There's another explanation, like about the black holes. We know that when the light comes in the path, a black hole comes in the path of the light, the light curves above the black hole and bends around it and then goes away. So even there we can see this phenomena where the light is moving away from the point it's coming from.
That's true.
Yeah.
But this is on planet Earth. These are regular human beings who ran.
But the structure of the black hole, like as I compared it with the prism, you know, any thicker medium.
That's true.
Bend the light.
That's true. But whatever we're saying, it's not normally placed in the, not every cave is like this.
Yeah.
Actually, no cave that we've ever seen is like this.
Yeah.
And if we are to move the sun away towards the right of any structure, we'll have to go outside the planet for the sun to move away while it's setting towards the left.
Yeah.
So, but that didn't happen outside this planet, or did it?
Yeah.
Or did it? That's the real question we have to ask, because this is such an amazing key that if we use this key and build a lock around this key, you'll find out that that lock is going to happen to be a gateway towards many, many dimensions, if not different universes. So this is one of the most interesting ways. And I don't know how the scholars have commented on this, because let me just, you know, show it to you here. If this is the cave and the sun rises here, it is moving towards the cave when it's rising. So the sun has to be moving away from towards the right when it's rising. So you're putting the cave behind the sun when it's rising.
Yeah.
That's technically not possible.
Yeah.
So let's just say that the cave is facing north.
Yeah.
Okay. And if it's facing north and the sun is rising from the east, it is not moving away. It's moving still, towards.
Yeah.
Okay. If I put it in the south, still the sun is not moving away.
Yeah.
Anything on the planetary plane, when the sun rises, the sun is moving towards them.
Yeah.
It's not moving away from them.
Yeah.
So we lose it right there.
Yeah.
I don't know how we actually reconcile all of this and what kind of structure are we looking at. So let's just assume that there is a tiny little spot, which is a structure, of course, and that's a mountain. And then the sun rises like this. I do not know how to make the sun move away from the right. Let's just assume that we do that. That this is just the shadow or the sunlight is moving.
The light,
Then all of a sudden, you cannot reverse the condition of that very light moving towards away from the left when the sun is going to set.
Yeah.
So this is where the mind baffles. And I'm sure there's an explanation if we assume a lot of other dimensions and then make the sunlight, if not the sun, behave like that. But this word does not mean sunlight. It literally means sun.
Yeah.
So we can't just first and foremost just extrapolate the meaning of sunlight out of this word, because it does not say sunlight.
Yeah.
So that would be a little far-fetched just to use.
But I think because the translator has inserted it in the brackets, so probably they must have taken it from somewhere from the tafsir.
It's not a good translation, because he also inserted the signs of Allah into bracket as well. I don't know why he did that, because it's a black and white word.
Yeah, that's Abdul Halim, by the way.
Yeah, why would he do that? You know what I'm saying?
I think let's not talk about the scholars here.
I did not. You did.
Well, what are they
doing? I love Abdul Halim. That's the only scholar I actually recommend to people. But why would he do that?
Yeah.
It's an actual word. Yeah, you can't just put the word in the bracket.
Probably we can move on from here and ask Abdul Halim if we ever get a chance, inshallah. Okay. About the prism thing, I guess we're going to discuss that.
Yeah, let's just let's tell you what the prism
if
works.
There is a prism. Imagine
you'll have to put the prism behind the cave.
No, just give me a minute. If there's a cave here and this is acting as a prism, or there's a prism here, whenever the light comes
it doesn't hit it, it moves away.
When the sun is here, the prism moves away.
Yeah, that's true. That's exactly what I mean. Behind the or around the cave, there was a prism of some sort, and there could be a layer of whatever medium that did enveloped the whole cave, and that did not make the light enter the cave just like that, and actually, you know, diffuse sunlight did enter.
Yeah, and I don't know why I'm using the word prism, because prism breaks the light into different colors. Probably any denser material, any denser medium.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay, inshallah. Yeah, so move on.
It's a very interesting matter.
Yeah. So you would have thought they were awake, though they lay asleep. We turned them over to the right and left, with their dog stretching out its four legs at the entrance. If you had seen them, you would have turned and run away, filled with fear of them.
Well, if you read all of the translations, which I do, you'll find a very weird word that most of the Muslim scholars have used to translate this word. That you would have turned back in flight, with an L. I do not know why they use that. Or maybe they were on the same line that I was thinking. But if you look at all the translations in English, and you'll be amazed that more than 80% of all the translators use the phrase, you would have turned back in flight.
Yeah. Sahih International says the same.
FLIGHT. Yeah. That's not a phrase of English.
If you had looked at them, you would have turned from them in flight.
Yeah,
and being filled
I can
by
understand
them
it's a fright, but that is redundant because the terror word is later on.
Yeah.
Ajaba. Ro'aba. So the real thing is that why are Muslim scholars using the word flight? That's something which really astonished me at times. Because it's not just one guy.
Yeah.
It's just about most of the people were using the word flight.
Wow.
So that's why we just have to refer to the whole of the meanings of every word of Arabic here. And if we can actually just the first part of the ayah, let me just break it up for you.
The Arabic?
Yeah, just the first part.
من الشيطان الرجيم. وتحسبهم أيقاظا وهم رقود ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال
وكلب. Yeah, that's not. That means, see now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He laid them down. That's the word that you know. If you can just read the English now, so that let's just break it into three parts.
And you would think them awake while they were asleep.
Yeah. Now, this is a very common sense thing.
Yeah.
Seven people who are not moving are laying down on the ground. Who would think that they're asleep or awake? Why would anyone assume that they're awake if they're laying down on the floor not moving?
Wow, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That means
either they are dead or they are sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah.
In that position. Yeah.
Yeah. That means, you know, it's a far-fetched thing to just go, oh yeah, I can just go in and look at their eyes and their eyes are open. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But that's not a scary sight.
Yeah. Plus there's no sunlight coming in, so probably it wasn't even that much light inside. Yeah. That you could see the eyes.
If there are no sunlight, then nobody's gonna get scared. Yeah. Because you cannot see anything in pitch black. But I don't get scared when I see people, and even if I do get scared, I'm too much of a weak heart. But I'm not going to be terrified by looking at seven people lying down on the floor.
Yeah.
That literally means that these people were not lying down, because it does say lying down. But if we had seen them, we would not have seen them lying down.
Hmm.
Now, with this perspective, read the translation again. Now, try and understand what I'm saying here, and then you'll understand why the word terror is used.
And you think...
From the beginning of this ayah.
And you would think them awake while they were asleep, and return them to the right and to the left while their dog stretched his forelegs at the entrance. If you had looked at them, you would have turned from them in flight and been filled by them with terror.
Yeah, why? See?
Well, I have a point here.
Yeah.
The point here is the beings and the objects in a smaller dimension cannot imagine how is it going to be in a higher dimension. But the higher dimensional beings can see how the smaller dimensional beings look, or the objects. For example, an object in 1D can only see a dot or a line of a 2D object, of an object in a 2D. Or a 2D one, an object in a two-dimensional space, if looks at the three-dimensional object, will only see two lines. Similarly, we cannot see anything of the fourth dimension. We can only see them in the weirdest, unimaginable shape. There are computer softwares that try to create a fourth dimension, and then they show the same object first in the 3D graphics, then they try to show the same object in the four-dimensional. So it's a computer simulation. But there's a video on the YouTube. I would recommend you watch it. There's a human three-dimensional head. And the graphic designer, whoever is playing around with it, he shows it in 1D and then 2D and then 3D, rotates the whole camera around the human head. As soon as he inserts a fourth dimension into the simulation, that whole head twists, breaks into a very weird, the computer doesn't understand what's it doing, you know? And that head is not even recognizable, you know? So very weird thing.
It doesn't fit here because...
No, why I'm saying here is, if they had entered into a higher dimension where there was a time difference with the time of the earth, then definitely if you look at them, to you they'll be the weirdest things ever.
I understand that. But that does not fit the meaning of the first part of this ayah. If I look at a four-dimensional human being, I will be scared.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to think he's awake.
He's awake or asleep, yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. Probably their shape wouldn't be even recognizable. Yeah,
that's the least of my worry at that time, whether he's awake or asleep. Yeah. I won't be able to think whether he's a human being or not.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is where the key is.
Yeah.
The key is...
So you can see them asleep, but yet they are scary enough to scare you away.
You can see them that there are people who are awake.
Yeah, awake. Yeah, yeah.
Why would... See, this is the real key. The difference between a guy who's awake and a guy who's asleep is maybe he's sitting down or walking versus a guy who's lying down.
Yeah.
That's one. The other difference is two guys were lying down. One has an eyes open, one does not.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just keep it to a simpler scenario.
Yeah.
If you were to see them, they were awake, that means that, you know, their eyes are open.
Yeah.
And the third one is that, you know, if a person is, even if he's lying down but he's moving around, then people think he's awake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I just, my mind does not really, you know, think that it's all about just the eyes opening or not, because... You know, that's something which does not really scare anybody.
Yeah.
Because we have to look both of the aspects here.
Yeah.
That the first thing is that it's a sleep and awake thing.
Yeah.
And they're definitely going to be seen awake. And then it'll be terrifying sight.
Yeah.
It's absolutely terrifying. You've been running. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you would have fled.
Yeah.
You would have run from terror. You know what I'm saying? This is the exact word. So... Understand how important this concept is. We have to understand that it has to be a terrifying sight of somebody who's actually awake.
Yeah.
Okay?
It does say, minhum firaram.
Firaram, yeah. Firaram means you would have run.
Yeah.
You would have just run with terror. Hmm. Now, why would anybody run with terror when he looks at seven awake people sitting down together?
Or maybe sleeping or...
I don't know.
Standing or whatever.
Even if somebody's lying down, then that's the least probability of an audience getting terrorized.
Yeah.
Because psychologically speaking, a guy who's lying down is the least of the threatening state.
Yeah.
For all we know.
That's how the cops make you lie down and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. So if I'm walking around and I see a bunch of people lying down and a bunch of people who are standing up, and then another bunch of people who are not just standing up, who are running. And then the last bunch of people who are running towards me. Now, the scariest side is the bunch is running towards me. Least scariest side is the people who are just lying down.
Lying down, yeah.
And I'm considering all of them as awake right now.
Yeah.
All of them are awake.
Yeah.
And the least of them all would be that people who are awake, but I can't see them whether they're awake or not. But that's not the condition here.
Yeah.
Okay, so now understand psychologically speaking, this is a totally different state. Definitely not lying down. Or even if they are lying down, they are very visibly showing those signs of being awake, which means they're moving about, or maybe they're just, you know, because the ayah says, you know, we're just shifting
tossing
them from left
them,
and we're tossing them. And that, the word does not say tossing. It just says moving left or right. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be really careful as to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that toss. So this is something which is another one of those amazing ways of Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala. It says nuqallibhum is qalb. Qalb means constantly changing. So dhat al yamini wa dhat al shimal.
Yeah, it doesn't really mean they're tossing while they're sleeping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even though commentaries all over the world are saying that an angel is just, you know, shifting their angle while they're asleep. And when if they're asleep, you know, they're going to actually have a body...
body ache, sores.
Sores. And not just sores, but since there's this 300 plus years we're talking about, so it's a lot more than just sores. So this is something which is the most interesting part about how this is happening. First, the strike on the ear, you know, and then
they're sleeping but still awake.
They're sleeping but awake, and they're in a terrifying state.
And then they are being
very
turned on the left and right.
Very, the verse before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says one party is arguing with the other party. And the biggest sign, which I missed out, I'm sorry, was the fact that no party, none of those two parties, said that, I think we've been asleep for more than 100 years because... Man, your beard is about 6 feet long. Your nails are out. You know, you got gray hair, man, and you look like a skeleton. Nobody said that because Because if somebody is asleep for more than a year, he's not going to wake up and say, hey, you know what? I just slept for a day or maybe two. Because his anatomy is going to change. And that is the sign of time travel. That is the sign of time stagnation. That's the time of dimension. That's the sign of dimensions or portals or whatever you want to call it. But that's definitely time travel, because these people stayed in their current state through the ways Allah is describing. And that's a very terrifying sight to see. And the technology is used as sound. And the proof of this is all over this. These three, four ayahs, in the shortest possible way, Allah Ta'ala has narrated a story in which he's given to us, and it doesn't really take a big thinker to understand this. It's so simple. And this is why Allah Ta'ala's wisdom, you can see that he wrote the very verse that is an account of one party talking about how much time they slept for. And that's the real value of that verse. And that's how important that verse is.
Yeah, there's one point I have to make here, because we've been using the word time travel a lot. So generally, the time travel means being able to traverse the time backwards or forwards, means going in the past or going in the future. But here we can see that this scenario may be only traveling into another dimension. Might not be a time travel.
No, it is definitely time travel, because they're going to come out and find out that they've traveled to the future.
Yeah, but if they were staying in a dimension where there was a time difference with the Earth, even then the same thing's going to happen.
Still time travel.
So it doesn't mean that they turn into future or the past.
No, but
that's what I'm saying, actually, because time travel is seen mostly, mainly,
in this perspective. No, but they did time travel to the future. They went outside and they found out that, you know,
oh yeah, finally they did.
So they did.
Yeah.
Now, how they've traveled could be an interdimensional or interplanetary movement.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
But it's not the fact. You see, there's so many clarities in this. It's not ambiguous at all, because they stayed in the cave.
Yeah.
That's why Allah Ta'ala says, if you had seen them, you would run with terror.
Exactly. That's the point I was trying to make, actually, that they did not travel in future or the past while they were in the cave. Only once they were awake, they found out that they are in the future.
This means that they did travel to the future. So the fact that their bodies didn't change makes them a time traveler.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, because the angel was not giving them a shave.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or even dyeing their color, hair color. Or preserving their clothes, or their muscles, or their skin. No.
Yeah.
It was done through this way. This most
giving them nutrition through the IV.
Yeah. This is not something which is. And also the word is wide space. Wide space.
Wide space. Yeah.
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 So they slept in a wide space.
Yeah.
So that actually factors out that video of the cave of the, you know, in Jordan, where they give you a tour of the people of the cave, because there's no white space there. Oh my God, that's like the smallest possible thing that you could possibly find out when they give you that tour. And you, if you people who've gone to that cave, which is known as the actual cave of Ashab-e Kahf, you'll find out that that there's no white space for seven people just like that. It's a small of a compartment that they've actually managed to dig up somehow. And this is why I think it was somewhere else, and it was such a big event that Jews came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked about him. If it were just so evident, Prophet ﷺ would have directed it, or they wouldn't have been able to ask it as an enchanting story. Okay? So this is a very, very big, very big eye-opener, a door towards understanding that the choice of words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used is so beautiful that it is speaking to us. It is opening the door of technology and that technology and travel, and you know, the way time is travel and what happens, how scary it is to look at, and what kind of situation a man is going through when he's, you know, traversing through time in hundreds of years, and how it happens to your ear, or at least one of those ways. And, you know, this is why it becomes the most important surah in the Quran in terms of this sort of, you know, technology.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Again, one last thing. This also shows that Dajjal, when he's going to go through a 100 years of a day, His one day is going to be 100 years. This is exactly what happened. Because one party says maybe a day or half a day.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was 300 years.
Yeah.
So it shows as to how these things can be done. And the fact that these were not prophets. So if Dajjal does that, does not make him a prophet. That's the first take from this.
Wow.
So just a little heads up for, because there's a lot more coming. You just started the story of the people of the cave.
Okay. And similarly, we awakened them and they might question one another. Said a speaker from among them, how long have you remained here? They said, we have remained a day or a part of a day. They said, your Lord is most knowing of how long you remained. So send one of you with this silver coin of yours to the city and let him look to which is the best of food and bring you provision from it and let him be cautious and let no one be aware of you.
There you go. So that's literally the signs of what kind of situation believers are going to be in the time of Dajjal. However, this is what I was referring to. The party says day or part of a day.
Yeah.
That means their body did not change.
Yeah.
Nothing changes. If I sleep right now, I'm going to wake up. I'm not going to have an inch of an indicator that is going to show me that I slept for 100 and some years. And the fact that it was a cave and not a building was such an amazing choice, because caves do not change their state over 100 and 300 years. And any other thing. You know, if it were a forest, we would have been a totally different forest if they were waking up.
Yeah.
So it had to be under some ground, in a stone structure, which lasts for more than a state of that structure lasts for hundreds and hundreds of years without any visible change. Yeah. Otherwise, if they were in a forest, and one party asked, how long would you think we're asleep? He would be like, hey, you know what? When we came back, when we were asleep, when we were trying to fall asleep, there were so many trees here.
Yeah.
And now you can see that this is a big jungle.
Yeah.
This is a forest. Or there's nothing here. We fell asleep in a jungle.
Yeah.
There are buildings around us.
Yeah.
So and this is why the privacy of the whole thing is just a secondary concept. The primary concept is the fact that it was a choice of a settlement which does not change its anatomy over hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's also one of the signs that a thing which does not change its state over time is the best place to travel through time, because that place did last the test of time.
Yeah.
So this is something which is a little philosophical.
Probably if it's a door to going somewhere, it's the door for to come back.
So that the door would remain.
If it changes,
so
you won't have the
door
way back.
Yeah, the door.
Yeah, wow.
So this is why caves and stones, because they don't change their shape.
Yeah.
And that door or gateway is going to last as long as the stone is going to last.
Yeah, okay. Jazakallah. So the last ayah for today, ayah number 20. Indeed, if they come to know of you, they will stone you or return you to their religion, and never would you succeed then ever.
There you go. That's exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. If you fight him, you're going to lose. Yeah. That's a Dajjal. Now, if you think this is the verse at the time of Dajjal, and then you recite the translation, let's assume that Dajjal is out there.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you recite. You and I are talking to each other. Yeah. We're hiding somewhere in the cave, and Dajjal is out there. And if you recite the verse in English, this is how the field and psychology should be.
Indeed, if they come to know of you, they will stone you or return you to their religion. And never would you succeed then ever.
This is exactly verbatim of all of the future people who are going to be hiding from a Dajjal. And if someone said, hey, you know what, I'm going to be a smart aleck and I'm going to try and do something, the other people are going to
let's
be
have
like,
a dialogue. Let's
let's talk about this.
Yeah.
I have an argument. I'm going to show him from the Quran. And I'm going to show him from Hadith. No. The Prophet himself said that he's going to stone you or force you into his religion or kill you or whatever. This is why just flee and keep it a secret. Your iman should be in hiding at that time.
Subhanallah. Thank you very much, Sahil. Inshallah.
Inshallah.
In our next program, we'll come with the next 10 ayahs of Surah Al-Kahf. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.